Matthew chapter 5, let's read just verse number 6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This morning I want to take some time and make some observations about, I guess, what we'd call natural or physical hunger and thirst. And I think all of us have experienced those things in our life. But then I want to demonstrate how some of those same types of things are also true of what our text here is addressing, and that is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I hope as we look at these things that our hunger and thirst for God and His attributes would increase. But let's pray before we get into our message. Lord, bless this service today. Help me as I preach. And Lord, as we pour over your word, may you indeed be at work in our lives and develop a stronger hunger, a stronger thirst for thee and thy righteousness. And Lord, may we also understand how it is that that desire, that hunger, that thirst can be quenched by coming and feeding upon the Word of God. So bless, Lord, in this message. Accomplish your purpose in our lives today, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the text says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I've written down 5 different observations concerning natural hunger and thirst. The first of which is they are desires of a person who is alive. As I understand it, a baby in the womb probably doesn't have desires such as hunger and thirst, and though the nutrients that the child needs in the womb is supplied from the mother's bloodstream. And I guess if those nutrients were absent, then even the baby in the womb might hunger and thirst. I'm not certain. Not certain if anybody ever has tried to observe as to whether or not babies in the womb are hungry and thirsty. I assume if they were, we'd probably hear them crying on the outside. I don't know, but we do know this much about natural hunger, and that is immediately upon a child being born into this world, they have those desires. One of the first things that my wife will do and has done with the birth of each of our children is to feed them, to breastfeed them. And they're more than happy to go along with that, because they come out of the womb apparently immediately hungry and thirsty, having a need, a desire for the nutrients that is necessary for their body to survive. And I think we also understand that immediately upon death, the hunger and thirst that we experience as a human being all but vanishes. It's gone. Hunger and thirst is something, is a desire for someone who's alive, not someone who's dead. And I think we also understand why that is, especially for an infant or an adolescent. They are growing. And because they are growing, because their body is exerting energy to grow, it needs food. It needs a constant supply of water and of nutrients so that the body can grow. And even those of us there that are adults and we've reached our full potential as far as height is concerned, we've not all reached our fullest potential as far as weight is concerned, but you know, we stopped growing in the sense that an adolescent has, and so how come we need to continue to eat and continue to drink? Well, it's because our body needs nutrients in order to survive, in order to live. Which kind of leads me to one of my other observations, and that is without food, without water, without these natural desires and fulfilling and satisfying them, we would die physically. I mean, you can survive a certain amount of time without food. Seems to me that I've heard people say you could probably survive up to 30 or 40 days without food. Now, you'd have to at least consume water during that time, because they say you could probably only go 3 days without water before your body shut down, before you died. And again, I think this is something all of us probably understand. You know, even if we were to eat very little in our lives, we would become very weak. Naturally speaking, physically speaking, we need food. If we eat nothing, we die. If we eat a little, we're weak. If we eat a sufficient supply of food and water, then our bodies operate as they were intended to. Job even said in chapter 23 of his book, verse number 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Notice there that food is necessary. We have to have it to survive. I've always been amazed at the human body. It's an amazing thing to me. I mean, it just goes on. I mean, how many things that we make as human beings can last 72 years? I mean, it's not without problems. You know, we got to go in for checkups and tune-ups and those kind of things occasionally. But you know what? The human body operates for an extended amount in time on very little. My body operates on pizza, cheeseburgers, and soda. And people think all that stuff is so bad for you. And I'm thinking, well, my body is pretty good at filtering it, evidently. I mean, the human body is an amazing thing. Just put food in it, and it just goes on. But if you stop putting food in it, you know what happens? It dies. It dies. These desires, such as hunger and thirst, are natural. It's not something that each of us have to acquire a desire for. It's automatic. When we're born, we're hungry. Or probably we should say thirsty. As we go through life, we don't have to try to be hungry or try to be thirsty. We just are. And you know what? If we do not experience hunger and thirst naturally, there's something wrong with our body. Harvey Bieber, he's one of the elder men at the church there in Grafton, and he had some problems here recently, and he was in the hospital there for a while. We were praying for him, and he's gotten out of the hospital since then. I think he's back in now, and that is because ever since he got out of the hospital, I guess he lost his appetite or lost the ability to keep anything down that he ate or drank. And so now he's back in the hospital because you get a low blood pressure, he's dehydrated. That's what happens. You know, some of you know people who've lost their appetite. Who was it here recently? Somebody... Lisa Miller, there was a period of time where she lost her appetite, and that's because everything she ate was messing up her body, or at least so she thought, because of her gallbladder. And so she eventually had to take her gallbladder out. But there was something wrong with her body, which was causing her to lose her desire to eat and to drink. And some of you know other people that have lost the desire to eat and to drink. And why? There was something wrong, either something psychologically wrong or something physically wrong with their body, because it's natural for us to be hungry and to be thirsty. And if we don't satisfy those desires, as I said, eventually we'll die. Also, I wrote down here, there are sometimes these desires, such as hunger and thirst, are stronger at certain times. They're stronger at different times in our lives. And perhaps it's when we've went in a lengthy amount of time without eating. Remember Luke chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, of Jesus Christ being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Yeah, he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Most of you probably can't imagine not eating for 4 days. I know I can't. and how hungry you would be if 4 days, how about 2 days, how about 1 day? What if you just tried to go 1 day without eating? You can probably understand that your hunger pains would be much more severe than they have been most of the time in your life. And then the fifth observation I wrote down here was the object of our hunger and thirst is food and drink, that which satisfies. When we're hungry, we eat something that satisfies that desire. When we're thirsty, we drink something that satisfies that desire. Now, we may, depending on our preferences, we may eat different things, but all of us eat something that's going to satisfy our inner desire. All of us drink something that's going to satisfy our physical desire. So again, just some observations here in regards to a natural hunger and thirst. That it's for a person who's alive, they are desires of a person who is alive, they're natural. You'll die if you don't respond or satisfy these desires. Sometimes they're stronger than at other times, and the object of our hunger and thirst becomes that which satisfies it, food and drink. And again, each of these observations could also be said of the truth that God is trying to convey to us in verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's not talking about a natural hunger. It's not talking about a physical thirst. It's talking about a supernatural hunger, a supernatural thirst. And these desires, that is a supernatural hunger, a spiritual thirst, are the desires of a person who's alive. Not who's alive physically, but who is alive spiritually. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you hath he quickened. You, believers, God has quickened, has made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I can understand a lost person having no desire whatsoever for God or His righteousness. But I cannot understand that from the life of someone who has truly been born again. For the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And one of the things that has become new is our desires. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Notice it again says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of obedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Again, this is the way we operated before we got saved. But notice verse number 4, just the first two words, but God. It simply says, but God. But God changed us, right? God not only made us alive, but He changed our conduct, He changed our behavior, He changed our desires. We now have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And I believe it's the Spirit of God that develops within us a hunger and a thirst for God and for His righteousness. In John 16, it speaks of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says that when He leaves, when He ascends to the Father, that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will come, and He'll reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, He says, because they believe not on Me. The Spirit of God convicts the lost world of their sin. Why? Because they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior for the provision that He can offer for their sin. But of righteousness, He says, because I go to the Father. He was leaving. And while He was here on the earth, He was the light of the world. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 3 that when a man's deeds were evil, he would not come to the light, to the Lord Jesus Christ, lest his deeds be reproved. Because when a wicked man stood in the presence of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he was convicted over his sinful life. And so men stayed clear of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Jesus Christ is ascending to the Father, he says to his disciples. And the Comforter's going to come. And now he's going to reprove the world of righteousness. He is going to set the standard within us, even those of us that are saved. The Spirit of God, not Jesus Christ in his earthly presence, but the Spirit of God reveals to us what is right. And he gives us a desire to do that which is right. Again, the hunger and thirst that's talked about in our text. It's not a natural hunger and thirst, but it's a spiritual hunger and thirst. And it's and these ought to be desires of everyone who has truly been quickened, that has been made alive. And this is a good way in which we can check up our own lives and our own salvation. Do we truly hunger and thirst after righteousness? If you're alive spiritually, you sure are. Again, these are natural desires for anyone who's saved. Jesus. Well, before I get there, let me just quote to you 1 Peter 2:2. It says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." A baby naturally desires the milk of its mother. God tells us to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And he gives us the reason why, that ye may grow thereby. That's exactly why a newborn baby desires the milk of its mother. I mean, it doesn't know it's going to help it to grow. It just knows it's hungry. And it's hungry because it's growing. And its body is using the nutrients that it's already taken in. And it needs more. This hunger is natural for a newborn baby, and it ought to be natural for the child of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Sometimes people view that second phrase as a conjunction, something that's in connection with the first phrase. There is, again it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," and then they think, "and who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." But there's no conjunction there. There's no "and." Instead, this is a description of those who are in Christ Jesus. John chapter 3 makes it clear that believing on Jesus alone is sufficient to prevent you from being condemned by God. It says there, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believed not on the name of the only begotten Son of God." This is a description, who walk not after the flesh. That's a description of those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a natural thing. That's what I'm trying to say. It's natural for the child of God, at least according to their new nature, to walk after the Spirit, to hunger and thirst after God and His righteousness. It's natural. Because this is what the Spirit of God produces in the life of the child of God. If you don't satisfy then these desires, these hunger pains for righteousness and for God, I would conclude also that you'll die. Just as if you neglect your natural desires to eat and to drink, you'll die. I would conclude the same is true spiritually. Again, not in the sense that you'll lose your salvation, but you know what? If you don't satisfy your spiritual hunger and thirst, you'll wither up. you'll become unfruitful. Jesus said in John chapter 15 that he was the vine. And except we abide in the vine, we can't bring forth fruit. Again, if we do not feast upon the Word of God, if we do not feast upon the person of God, we'll not be fruitful in our lives. We will wither away to nothing. Just as it's true, if we eat little, naturally speaking, our bodies will grow weak. If we eat very little, spiritually speaking, our bodies will grow weak as well. And if we eat nothing, we'll wither away, bearing no fruit. These desires, natural desires of hunger and thirst, are sometimes stronger than at other times. I believe that that's also true in regards to the spiritual realm and our spiritual desires of hunger and thirst. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 1 it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." The Word of God was highly esteemed in that day. You know why? Because God just wasn't speaking to men. There was no open vision. In other words, the prophets did not come to the people with, "Thus saith the Lord." An extended period of time had elapsed, and they had no new revelation, no message from God. And so they clinged to the past messages of God, such as those included in the Pentateuch and such. No one had heard from God, and they longed then to hear from God. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." And I believe that this particular text is speaking of the great tribulation period, where there'll be a famine, not of water, not in regards to water or food, but in regards to the Word of God. No open vision, people not hearing from God, and you know what it will cause? It will cause those hunger pains to increase. Can I ask you a question then in relationship to this? When you go for an extended period of time without reading or studying your Bible, if you happen to have to miss a church service where the Word of God is preached, or maybe multiple church services, do your hunger pains increase? Do they? They should. For a child of God who's truly been born again, who has the Spirit of God within him, if we go an extended period of time without meeting and fellowshipping with God, which again is primarily done by feasting on this book, our hunger pains should increase. Our desires for God should increase, and for His righteousness should increase. How about when we falter and fail and sin against God, and do we get to such a place of frustration because we want to exhibit God's righteousness in our lives? That ought to be the case. The object, what is the object of this hunger and thirst? It's God and His righteousness. Righteousness speaks of virtue, morality, decency. It speaks of holiness, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. And it's impossible to do this without a knowledge of God and His will and word. God can't be known apart from His word. His will cannot be known apart from His word. And so if we want to know God, want to know what He's like and know what He expects from us, we're going to have to turn to the Word of God. And so I conclude that if we truly do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the object of our hunger and thirst will be the Word of God. I want you to turn with me to a couple of Psalms. Look at Psalm 42. This is the psalm that inspired the song that the young people sing sometimes. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you hear the psalmist? Does he sound like somebody who's hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Absolutely. I don't know, perhaps he's out hunting. You know, there seems to be a lot of hunters who enjoy hunting, not just for the kill or the meat, but just for the time alone to meditate and to think. Matter of fact, a friend of mine who hunts, he posted a picture on Facebook of the sunrise. And he said, this is one of the reasons I hunt, to watch the sunrise. And maybe here the psalmist was out hunting, and he watched the deer panting for the water brook, desiring those streams. Maybe he was so concentrated then on that and his relationship to God, he forgot to kill the deer. Because he says, just as that deer panteth after the water brooks, so does my soul pant after God. My soul is hungry for God. My soul is thirsty for God. That's what he's saying. In Psalm chapter 63, much of the same thing is said. Psalm 63, it says in verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land wherein no water is. You know, every time I read this verse anymore, I always think back to certain days at Bible college, because there were times that I would beg God to feed me from His Word during chapel, because contrary to what some of you might think, not every chapel service was I fed the Word of God. And I got to a place sometimes where I was like, Lord, will you just please send someone that will teach and preach the Word of God, that I might be able to feast upon it. Those are good desires to have, folks. Those are desires that all of us should have. Desires that God would feed us from His Word. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. The song we sang earlier in the garden. The song says, oh, come while the dew is still on the roses. Maybe as we sang that, I laughed inside myself thinking how long it took me to understand what was meant by that. That's the early morning, by the way, in case some of you haven't got up that early before. The dew falls in the morning, early. And so it was still on the roses, and that's when the songwriter was meeting and fellowshipping with God. And that's what the psalmist says here, early will I seek thee. He's not talking about while he's young. He's talking about in the early part of the day. The first thing that he thinks of is God. He said his soul thirsteth for God. His flesh longeth for God in a dry and thirsty land. We live in a dry and thirsty land, don't we? A barren land spiritually where no water is. A lot of the preaching and the teaching that goes on today in America is not Bible-centered, is not Christ-centered. And I could foresee a lot of God's people then as a result crying out to God saying, God, feed me. Give me something that will satisfy my spiritual thirst. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Is it something that you desire? Is it something that you want? Again, we need to have those desires, otherwise we'll never seek to fulfill them. And again, they can only be satisfied by spending time with God in prayer and in His Word. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness if you're alive? Spiritually, you should. It should just be a natural desire that the Spirit of God places within you. Do you long to be like the Lord? David said he wouldn't be satisfied. And I don't, you know what? I don't know if you have these kind of desires, spiritual hunger and thirst, I don't know that they're going to be satisfied in this life. Because David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. I'm not going to be satisfied until I am ushered into His very presence. And I believe that's when God will fill us. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I think we should live in a perpetual state of spiritual hunger and thirst of being just like God, because we won't be just like God until He gives us His new body, our new body. I believe that's why David said what he did. That's when I'll be satisfied. Again, I really just want to try to encourage us and exhort us to ensure that we have a hunger and thirst for the right kinds of things. Because you know what? If you go after the lust of the flesh to gratify those desires, you'll find yourself very lacking. Because those desires will never be fulfilled, not permanently. The flesh wants more and more and more and more, and it's never satisfied. But what God says is if you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, that is something that can be and will be satisfied when we're ushered into heaven. But the fleshly desires, they'll never be satisfied. You'll always be lacking. Again, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Make sure you have a good, healthy, spiritual thirst for God and His righteousness. And if you do not, then you ask God to give you such a desire. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Lord, I pray there might be some things that we can learn today from this text and from the things that I've said. Lord, as we look at our physical bodies, we recognize that we have natural desires of hunger and thirst. And Lord, I'm of the impression scripturally that once we're saved, we'll also have certain thirsts and hunger pains, and yet not in regards to the earthly, but in regards to the spiritual, to be more like Thee. And so God created in us a desire, a thirst, and a hunger to be more like Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's someone perhaps here today that does not have these desires because they are not saved, help them to be saved. If there's someone here that recognizes that they have an emptiness in their soul, help them to realize that that emptiness can only be filled with the person of Jesus Christ. So God, bless Your Word as it's went forth. Use the things that I've said to help and to encourage Your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's go ahead and sing the song we sang a moment ago again, 428, In the Garden, 428.